Stung by breaches and facing a rasher of policy mandates, federal agencies are using network upgrades as opportunities to improve cybersecurity. A case in point, the EPA. I spoke with Lee Kelly, the IT specialist and special assistant to the agency's senior information security officer. I asked Kelly about how the Internet of Things and big data are affecting EPA's network security.
So with the Internet of Things and big data, and if you want to couple them together, the biggest concerns primarily, or initially I should say, are going to be the amount of data that's being generated and then how do you store it. So the storage requirements are going to grow exponentially, as well as bandwidth is going to be another concern. You've got many, many more devices transmitting, receiving, processing, so forth, all this data. It's got to be fed over some communications wires somehow. And so bandwidth is a concern, as well as, again, data storage. From a cybersecurity standpoint, we have a few different angles we're looking at it from. One is all of these devices will need to be authorized before they can just jump onto the networks, and then weeding out the ones that aren't authorized, obviously. Another concern is the types of data that may come with all of these new Internet of Things devices. While they may be authorized, what if someone has their own personal things that they bring with them? Then you're looking at, is there potentially health data? Is there financial data that's being transmitted and received through these wires, through these communications channels, and how is it protected? So we're looking at the data itself. What are the types that's being utilized? How is it protected both in transit and in motion? As well as how do we store and then further process all of this data that's coming from these new devices?
Because we both, I think, recently heard a presentation from the National Security Agency about the clever ways that crooks and hackers and so forth attach malicious files behind what look like legitimate files. And if you don't have the right filtering and so forth in place, they can just slide right in behind the file you want. I imagine that's a big issue with, especially, again, with sensor data and cell phone-based sensor type of data that's coming into the agency.
It's always a concern when you have any kind of attachment or any kind of files coming in, because, yes, you can scan the file itself, and you do need to look at the format of the file as well as the contents of the file to be able to determine if it does contain something malicious or potentially not. So that is a concern. With sensor data coming in many cases, it may just be one-way data streams. So unless someone can hack into that data stream and attach something through that method, which could be a possibility. But yes, analyzing all of that data will be a concern to weed out any potential malicious activities.
All right, let's back up a minute and go back to your title, IT Specialist for InfoSec and Special Assistant to the EPA Senior Agency Information Security Officer. Where do you fit into the whole hierarchy of things there?
So the Senior Agency Information Security Official is equivalent to the CISO position. I've acted as his special assistant in terms of headlining or heading up certain programs or projects he wants to highlight. Also work with the rest of our cybersecurity staff on all the various projects we have, because we have agency responsibility for oversight and compliance and some operational duties as well.
And how does that interact with the CIO function?
The senior agency ISO, he reports directly to her. And so they have constant and frequent briefings, updates on various items that are going on around the network from all the cybersecurity standpoint across the agency.
So it's part of the CIA silo, if you will.
Yes.
Bad word nowadays, but you know the function, the vertical function of the CIO. And who's your boss these days?
Robert McKinney agency ISO. And Ann Duncan is the CIO.
Sure. Well, everybody knows them, and now they'll make sure everybody knows you too. And so, I mean, what occupies most of your time as senior advisor and information security specialist? I mean, what do you do all day to further that function?
So I'm looking at, again, from a standpoint of compliance and oversight, is getting access to the data, going back to the big data standpoint, from all the various security tools and security functions that are going on across the agency. And then turning that into some sort of reporting feature up to Robert McKinney, so he can brief upper management on the status of operations or the status of security at the agency.
Yeah, give us a sense of the extent of the tools that are there and the types of tools they are, not necessarily vendors, but what do you have running and what do they do on the network?
So we have a, if you will, standard suite of security tools, right? If you want to look at firewalls, intrusion detection, and those types of tools. We monitor our networks. We're also trying to monitor the data that's on those networks so that we can secure them no matter where the data ends up or where it's being processed at.
What levels of data does that generate? Megabytes, terabytes, petabytes?
Some of our program offices are going to generate gigabytes per day. I think as big data and more Internet of Things comes about and more climate data and more other mission essential data comes into PET, we will approach terabyte if we're not already there. capacities, and then we'll just keep going upwards from that standpoint.
Now, those are those records of the government? I mean, what is the life cycle of that? So, say you have a terabyte of sensor data from you know, network monitoring tools. How long do you have to keep them? What's the life cycle of that data?
Our security data, we're keeping various stages. Depends on what type of data it is and what it's useful for. But storage is a consideration.
Yeah, sure, because it never goes down. It always goes up unless you get rid of stuff from time to time. Talk about the human capital side of cybersecurity at EPA. What types of people do you look for, and where are the gaps in cybersecurity skills?
So in general, and this would be across the industry, if you will, I think more investment is needed in the human capital from two different standpoints. One being that as you come on board, you need to have some, preferably either education or security certifications, to give you that additional knowledge right out of the gate. From the other standpoint, once these people come on board, then a good effective training program needs to be put in place as well to maintain those skills and to grow those people professionally as well as personally in the cybersecurity arena. So from two standpoints.
And do you have the training dollars and capacity that you think you require?
Typically we do, yes.
In terms of people, you hear so much about the training and contest among young people that might be attracted to government. Is that something you look for, or can some of the old dogs learn new tricks too?
Well, I think old dogs like myself can always learn new tricks. But like everybody else, we are looking for talent. And we do have to compete with industry, private industry, as well as the rest of the government, to attract and retain and hold on to those people as they come on board.
Lee Kelly is an IT specialist and special assistant to the agency's senior information security officer. Tomorrow, in part two of my interview, Kelly describes EPA's approach to continuous monitoring, diagnostics, and mitigation. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on Facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.